Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, the 19th of June. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here on this Friday.
It is, in fact, Friday. Once again, for people who are only listening for the important portion of the program, today is Friday. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
It's good to be here, Kelly, on this fine, fine Thursday. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I know how you love to be on the Thursday edition.
I got that wrong, didn't I? I'm so sorry.
We just talked about this, Brian. Also with us today, we have Brian's hat.
Howdy.
So, Andrew, I actually want to start with you and a quick note for people who are Creative Cloud users.
Yeah, so Adobe announced like maybe a couple days ago a lot of big updates to pretty much all of its suite of Creative Cloud apps. So this includes Photoshop, Lightroom, InDesign, Illustrator, a whole bunch more. There's a big list, so just read it so I don't have to read it for you because no one likes that. A couple of cool things. They seem to be adding a couple of features with live streaming. As one example, they have this app called Adobe Fresco. It's a drawing app. And with this update, users can live stream what they're doing as they're like basically Bob Ross it and watch someone draw, which is always awesome.
All right.
Let's see.
So the bigger message is that there's been a lot of big things that have been updated in all of these. So if you're a person who doesn't necessarily update right away, it might be a good idea in this case to pull the trigger on those. Yeah.
Creative Cloud tends to like, you know, you're updating. Here it is.
Yeah.
You're done. Thanks.
Okay.
And then other ones were basically a little bit more minor. For example, Premiere Rush has a new effects panel that features auto reframe and pan and zoom. Now, as I mentioned in the article, some of these updates sound like they're going to be happening soon. But as for the ones I just mentioned, pan and zoom and auto reframe, for example, mm-hmm. those it sounds like are still in beta and they're going to roll out sometime this year.
Okay. All right. Now, another little bit of Security Friday news, since it is, in fact, Friday, and we have some Security Friday. That is Mozilla has made an announcement about something they're coming out with in the near future.
Yeah, so they are coming out with their own VPN. They say it's going to launch in the next few weeks, and you'll be able to protect up to 5 devices on Windows, Android, and iOS, and it's going to be $5 a month.
Interesting. And Mozilla, as we know, has a history of trying to sort of be pro-consumer when it comes to protecting data and making sure that if they are collecting anything, that it's very clear what they're collecting and what they're doing with it. So this will definitely be worth a look. Are you going to maybe investigate further, Andrew, when this is live?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you can already sign up for the beta, but if you just want to wait for the finished product, there mm-hmm. is a link to join the waiting list.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Our last piece of Security Friday news is we've got an announcement from Sophos about something going around. Something else going around, so I guess. There's plenty of things going around right now, but this is particularly related to your Mac.
So this is more as a PSA. Sophos says there's a certain family of adware going around lately. They call it part of the Bundlore family.
Okay.
And it involves when you go in Safari, there can be like, it sounds like there's this installer that gets downloaded in, I don't know, with certain malicious apps.
Okay.
And they can inject ads and hijack your download links and redirect your search queries and for the purpose of stealing your clicks to generate income.
Yep.
But I call it a PSA because as long as you don't really download anything weird and as long as you keep everything up to date, like anti-malware software, for example, mm-hmm. this shouldn't really be a big issue for people. It's just, here's what's going on.
Yeah, and it's just one of those that's gotten big enough that it sort of got its own announcement, so we just want to make sure people are aware. So,
They say it's this particular family of bundleware, they call it, it accounts for almost 7% of attacks detected by Sophos. So that's still a pretty sizable number.
Yeah. So if you're not using something to scan for malware, you might want to start, particularly if you are downloading things from, we'll call them interesting websites, colorful websites. If it's possible you're downloading from a website that may not entirely be a legitimate website, then it's definitely good to have some sort of malware scanner on your device, and not just have it, but actually deploy it once in a while. That's what I'm saying. So thank you, Andrew, for our Security Friday updates. And now I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies. They make an app called DevonThink. And DevonThink helps you file, organize, and annotate everything that's incoming through your information firehose. Part of the way that they do that is with artificial intelligence. So DevonThink can help manage all of those things for you, whether they are live web pages, whether it's a local file. You can put documents in groups yourself. You can tag them if you want to. You can use both, however you roll, you do you. You can use smart rules like smart playlists in iTunes. You can add reminders, very flexible reminders, actually, to any document that you have stored in DevonThink. And even if you're not a programmer, you can build some basic automations that will take care of the repetitive parts of this for you and make it so that all of the boring things that you don't want to be doing in the first place, you can actually hand off and let your computer handle instead. Now, just for my listeners, there's a 10% discount on a full DevonThink 3 license or on an upgrade license. You can still get a deal. And that's at devontechnologies.com/TDO. That's DEVON technologies.com/TDO. 10% off that full license or off of an upgrade. And we'd like to thank DevonThink for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing we want to talk about is part of the reason Brian is here because he's very excited about being here today.
I am.
Thursday. And, yes. And it is that Bloomberg has an interesting piece about Apple and Apple's, I guess, plans for reality, because the R in both of them stands for the same thing, right?
Yeah. So long story short, Charlotte's actually writing this up for us. Yes. But here I am to talk about it. So here is the two things that I think are the breakout news from this Bloomberg story. And of course, it's by Mark Gurman. And that is this. Apple is working on both a set of more VR-like, virtual reality-like headset, and then a second set of something that's more like glasses for AR. And I don't know that we've had a good indication before that Apple was working on any kind of VR product. So long story short, there was apparently a battle within Apple. And this is one of those times where I think that Johnny Ives is, quest for smallness and thinness and lightness and whatnot was the better choice. So
yeah,
the AR team wanted to do a set of goggles of some sort that was tethered wirelessly to its own sort of breakout box. And they weren't calling it a breakout box, but basically its own hub. And that hub would be doing a lot of the heavy lifting for processing. So what that means is that you end up getting to do ever more realistic stuff. You get to do it. It's much more powerful. And Johnny was like, I think that, sorry, my voice is too messed up to do my bad Johnny eye. But Johnny wanted to have a self-contained device. Okay. And so what ended up and Johnny ended up winning that battle when Tim Cook sided with him over the over the desires of the head of the AR VR goggles project leader. Okay. And I think that's probably a good thing. The notion of having, even for VR, which is aimed at gaming, but even for VR, the notion of having it tethered to something really, really limits its real world application, I think. And having it be self-contained and having it be completely portable is going to be the kind of thing that results in societal changes in the way we interact with the world. And we wouldn't have that if it was tethered to a device.
Yeah.
So we've got the N301 that is, like, according to Bloomberg, is a prototype so far. So far is probably important. Looks more like a smaller version of the Oculus, which is the, you know, sort of like all encompassing headset.
Yeah.
It would have speakers built into it, blah, blah, blah. And then there is another product, which I think is the N241. Is that right? Is it 421? Is it 241?
421
out here. 421. Thank you. There it is. The N421 is something that's more of the AR aim, that is more like glasses and would therefore be about imposing information onto reality as opposed to replacing reality with artificially generated information. And I think this is important because I like the idea of Apple competing with Facebook and Oculus.
So do I
really like this idea. I love the idea that there is a world, there's plenty of room for virtual reality, especially with gaming, possibly with meetings and stuff. And separately, the thing that we've been really excited about here at TMO for a while, separately, is the potential for AR, which is, you know, it's just a completely different sort of application. And the fact that Apple is going after both delights me. And I hope that both of these products end up seeing the light of day.
Yeah, I mean, I think this story is interesting because everything that I've heard about these products so far, the rumors say there will be a hub. It's just that this hub will be the iPhone. The rumors say it's going to be tethered to your... It's going to be an accessory to your iPhone, kind of like how the Apple Watch is.
Okay.
So maybe this guy still wins in the end.
Well, I think that they were going to be doing a bunch of dedicated, dedicated processing stuff in the original hub, that it wouldn't have been necessarily the iPhone. But having the iPhone be a hub is still a much better idea.
Yeah,
in my opinion, the portability matters. It matters less for the gaming VR headset. It matters infinitely so in terms of the AR device.
Yeah.
Okay.
The really interesting story. It's a lot of details that we haven't seen before. The fact that there was, you know, sort of a battle that lasted for months, according to Mr. Gurman, between Mr. Rockwell, who was heading the project, and Johnny Ive is interesting, and Tim Cook making the eventual decision. That's interesting. A lot of interesting details in it. Charlotte's going to have a full workup for us probably shortly after the show goes live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will have a link to that in the show notes. The thing to me that I wonder about with this is what's sort of going to end up being the tipping point. Maybe this is something, Brian, that you can speak to a little bit, because we've seen neat stuff every year, and particularly at DubDub. We've seen part of the announcement every year for a few years now, where you can tell that the people introducing and the people presenting are very, very excited about the AR thing that they've just done. I think it was Lego last year. We've had some games that are AR games where, like, all of the characters are all standing on the same table together and competing in some sort of arena or whatever. And it does look super cool. I'm not going to say it's not cool looking, but I'm not finding anything in that seems to be gaining a lot of traction. Like, the games that are doing this aren't turning out to be Angry Birds that, like, everybody has to download and play, or Candy Crush or something, right?
Yeah, not even the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. Like, even when they show those off, like, they're not getting where they should be. And then, you know, I don't know anybody that still has it on in Harry Potter.
it's this whole notion of walking around with your phone in between you and the world. Mm-hmm. That's lame. It's completely lame. In a sort of side by side note with that, Johnny Ive, one of the reasons why he didn't like the aim of the VR set with the standalone hub was because it takes you out of the world, and he wasn't keen on Apple introducing another product that takes you out of the world.
That's a good approach. I like that stance.
It is. There is a place for it with gaming.
Correct.
There is a place for it with gaming. There is an absolute place for it.
Well, the point of gaming is to take you to a different world, right? So you go get immersed in Azeroth or whatever it is, right? Isn't it Azeroth?
That can be a point. It is, yes, Azeroth. But that can be a point of gaming. I don't know if it's the point of gaming. This moment brought to you by Pedants. Pedants, because rules matter.
Pedants. Well, actually, Hi, it's Friday, and we determined before the show that basically none of us are operating on anything resembling a reasonable amount of sleep. So,
this
welcome.
This is true.
Yeah. What I'm interested in with this is because I've been watching some of this, not as enthusiastically as either one of you, but I've been watching this for a while as a casual observer of this piece of the presentation that, like I said, we've been getting for a while. And it always looks super cool, but it never looks like a thing that I am interested in. And I'm interested in all kinds of different stuff. And there are ways to reel me into some of this. Like, I got reeled into AR with Pokemon and with Wizards Unite, Pokemon Go and Wizards Unite. And, you know, it was novelty. And I turned it off and I could still play the game and that was fine. And so that's the thing that I'm wondering is when there's going to be something a little bit more compelling, I guess, than, you know, if you try to buy a couch from IKEA, they will show you what it looks like house first.
It's going to be about having the display sitting on the end of your nose.
Okay.
And useful information being imposed on your vision.
Okay.
Be it contact names, right? The names of the people you're talking to, the directions to where you're going, the restaurant reviews, quick access to your checking balance. If you're like, you know, some people will probably want
when you walk by the Apple Store, your card balance pops up.
Sure.
And you keep walking.
Social media notifications for some people that wouldn't be my thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like it's when this information can be imposed on our vision without us having to do anything, and it's useful information. That is going to be the compelling thing.
So the heads up display.
The display that sits on your nose.
Right. So it'll be sort of like those cars that project things on the windshield for you. Like, you're still looking where you were looking to begin with, but now there's extra information being
that's a heads up
inserted
display,
into your view.
But that it's different from the display that sits on your nose.
Okay.
In my opinion.
But it's going to be a similar experience. Like, I'm looking at a thing and I get information on the edges of it, right?
Even with games like the Pokemon game or the Harry Potter game or all the other games that will follow. Mm-hmm. When the display sits on your nose and you're not even thinking about the fact that you're playing the Harry Potter game and you're just walking down the street and all of a sudden a dragon comes out and attacks or, you know, something like that, that's going to be a lot more interesting, more interesting than holding up your phone in front of your face.
This is
key. This notion of having, the AR glasses like product, according to Mr. German, won't be around until 2023 at the earliest, whereas the VR set could be 2021 or 2022, I think.
Okay.
So we've got there's a long ways to go with this stuff.
All right.
There's a lot that has to be accomplished.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we will find out a little bit about that on Monday, I presume, which is the kickoff of the Worldwide Developers Conference.
I don't expect anything to be announced tomorrow.
Well, I don't think they're Monday. And I don't think they're going to tell us about Monday. New glasses or new headsets or anything. But I think we're going to see more pieces of the stuff that they've been building into iOS and macOS to help make this stuff awesome.
You're right.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're correct. My mistake.
Groundwork. That's what I'm talking about. We will see more groundwork for this, I think.
Definitely groundwork, I think, because I think that is one of the purposes of that LiDAR sensor in the iPad Pro.
Uh-huh.
And it's expected that there will also be one in the iPhone 12.
Uh-huh.
a lot of people have said this is a way for Apple to test these sensors, how they interact with the real world, yep. do some configurations and, you know, learn from it, and then apply that to these AR and VR products later.
Along with manufacturing at some sort of scale, being able to integrate them into something that's already existing, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. I think there's a certain amount of, like, the stuff we've seen with metal, which I keep wanting to call heavy metal, but it's really metal 2 or something that's less cool sounding than heavy metal. But all of the stuff that's been happening on the graphics side with metal and the stuff that they keep sort of presenting as this is really awesome for games, it's also going to be really awesome for the kind of on-the-fly calculations you have to do for things like LiDAR. So we will see what they give us on Monday that ties back into this. So we may follow up on this later. You can tune into MacObserver.com for all of your dub needs, including Daily Observations podcasts. Since it's virtual this year, we will be generally doing shows each morning as we do now and West Coast time. And talking to you about the things that we've seen at the conference, some of the interesting stuff from the developer forums. And obviously on Monday, we will be talking about what we saw at the keynote. So if you're normally, so the show might be slightly delayed on Monday as we wait for Tim Cook to tell us all the awesome stuff he has to tell us about on Monday. And then we will talk about it here. Thank you both for being here. Brian, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
Good to be here, Kelly. This has been a fine Thursday. I appreciate you having me on the show. I'm not helping, am I?
Not even a little. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by for Security Friday, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, and before I forget, Brian's hat, always a pleasure to have you here. Brian, I'm not sure about, but you're always great.
Yep.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. As I said, I will talk to you, all of you, on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.